Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom.
Heavenly Father, I confess that without you I can do nothing. I humble myself, Lord, and I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to come.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
You know, this Bible is really a history book. It's his story. The story of a king, a kingdom, and the king's children, who are his family, and the heavenly colonization of the earth. And the Bible is not a book of religion, but it's a relationship between the king and his children. And God's original plan was to extend his heavenly kingdom on earth through mankind, through us. The purpose of and destiny of mankind was dominion over the earth. And if you open your Bible to Genesis 1, it's always a good place to start. Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, dominion means to govern, to rule, to control, to manage, or to have the power to reign over. So man was given dominion over the earth. But then mankind rebelled against the commandment of God. And the fall of man was actually a fall from dominion. It wasn't a fall from heaven. It wasn't a fall from grace. It was a fall from dominion. And the purpose and goal of God's plan for man's redemption is to restore mankind back into dominion on earth. And, you know, in the process, you know, we have salvation and a chance to live with God for eternity. So let's look at Matthew chapter 25. The name of the message today is The Kingdom and Dominion. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, the kingdom is our inheritance. It's not something that we have to earn. When the royal family in England has a child, do they have to earn the inheritance of the crown jewels and all the and owning everything in that kingdom? Of course not. And we don't have to earn our inheritance of the kingdom if we're God's children. It pleases him to give us the kingdom. He planned it before the foundation of the world that we would inherit this kingdom and have dominion. Now, it's no accident that Rabbi Ed opened with Psalm 24 today, because the Holy Spirit works these things out through each and every one of us. But in that psalm, in the first two verses, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." So the earth and everyone who dwells in it belongs to God. And he's the one who founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. It's God's. Everything is God's. The earth is the Lord's. Matthew 6, chapter 10. Matthew 6, verse 10. Thank you. Yeshua was teaching his disciples how they should pray, and he told them to pray, "Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The kingdom of heaven is colonizing the earth. Think about this. You know, when the kingdom of England or Great Britain wanted to colonize a place, they would send an exploratory, expedition, and they would bring everything that they needed. They would bring seeds. They would bring plants. They would bring animals. They would bring couples and children, and they would bring whatever they needed to start a colony to make that new place the property and territory of the place that they were sent from. And here we are on earth, and we're commanded to colonize it for the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
Sounds like a tall order. But the good news is that Yeshua came. He did everything for us that we needed. He sent the Holy Spirit after he ascended to be with his Father in heaven again. And the Holy Spirit is our counselor who's going to lead us into all truth, it says. And therefore, he's going to give us everything we need to colonize earth for the kingdom of heaven. So we pray, "Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," because A, Yeshua taught us to pray that way, and B, that's what we're here for. The kingdom is our inheritance, and we're to colonize earth, for the kingdom of heaven. And take back dominion. Let's look at Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verses 15 through 17. "May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence." So mankind was given earth to manage for God. It says God made heaven and earth, but the earth he has given to the children of men. We have a tall order. Yeshua gave the Great Commission. He said, "Go unto all the earth and preach the gospel." I don't think all of the earth has heard it yet, but I think we're getting closer. I've been to some pretty far out places, and people there had already heard it. But anyway, all throughout Scripture, which is his story, the story of the relationship between the king and his children, is filled with commands of how we are supposed to have dominion on earth, how we're supposed to colonize earth for the kingdom of heaven, and how we're supposed to inhabit earth for God's sake and spread his kingdom to as many as will receive it. So the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Another psalm, Psalm 8. Verses 4 through 7. Psalm 8, verses 4 through 7. "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." So, we were made to have dominion on earth. I've read many scriptures that say that straight away. There's no way to misinterpret this. You were made to have dominion over the works of your hands. That's what God's word says. "But when men fell and rebelled against the will of God, and they yielded dominion on earth to Satan, And if you want to read about that, you can read it in Genesis 3. I'm not going to read it right now. But Yeshua came to redeem God's original plan for earth and mankind. And his first mandate, the first call of the kingdom of God, was to repentance. You know, Yeshua came to the Jordan River. His cousin John was baptizing people there. And he asked John to baptize him. And John said, no, I mean, I'm not worthy to baptize you. Jesus said, you have to, so that the word can be fulfilled. And so John baptized Yeshua, and a dove came down from heaven and rested on him. And the voice of God came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then Yeshua was led by the Spirit, it says. He was filled with the Spirit and led into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan in every way. But each time he was tempted, he quoted the word of God and resisted temptation so that he could be the sin-free, blemish-free, perfect Lamb of God that could redeem the earth for mankind. So let's look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Yeshua came out of the wilderness. He went to Nazareth, then he went to Capernaum. And it says in verse 17 that from that time, Yeshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, the verb is at hand can also be translated has come, or has arrived, or is here. So you could say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come, or the kingdom of heaven is here. And it suggests that the inauguration of the reign of God is ready to happen. That because Yeshua came and he did these things, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He started his ministry. He resisted temptation. And now he's saying, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's come. It's at hand. And I'm ready to be inaugurated as king. Now, repent, that word is metaneo, Strong's 3340, from meta for after, and neo to think. So repentance is a decision that results in a change of mind or a change of heart, which in turn leads to a change in purpose and a change in action. So when we truly repent, we not only change our minds and we change our hearts, but we change the way that we live. That's what true repentance requires. It's not just that you say, oh, God, I'm sorry. You know, you need to change the way that you live. And the first call of the kingdom of God, the very first thing Yeshua called people to is repentance.
That's right.
The implication of biblical repentance is threefold. It's a renunciation or a reversal. It's a submission and a teachability. And it's a continuous shapeability. So there's no birth into the kingdom of God without hearing the call to salvation, renouncing your sin, and turning away from sin and toward Messiah, the Savior. And there's no growth in his kingdom without obedience to the commandments of Yeshua and a childlike responsiveness as a disciple of Yeshua, yielding to the teaching of God's word. He said, those who come to me as a little child will find the kingdom of heaven. And there's no lifelong increase in bearing fruit for his kingdom as a citizen of it without a willingness to accept the Holy Spirit's correction and guidance in your life. And that's why repentance is both renunciation and reversal, submission and teachability, and continual shapeability. We have to be shaped into the image of Yeshua from glory to glory. So let's look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. It's talking about Yeshua. He said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. You know, How much more clear could that be? The mission of Yeshua was first to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. For this purpose I've been sent. I must preach the kingdom. Then going back to Matthew chapter 10. I did get to Matthew chapter 10, Ed. Verses 6 through 8. He's sending out his disciples. And he said, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preaching, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what do? They heal the sick, they cleanse the lepers, they raise the dead, they cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So the mission of Yeshua was to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, first to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. And he did it to help restore dominion back to mankind. And the way that they helped restore dominion is they heal the sick, they cleanse the lepers, they raise the dead, and they cast out the demons. And that is a restorative process that brings dominion back into the domain of men and takes it back from Satan, who got it by his deception way back in Genesis in the Garden of Eden. And Yeshua said, which we pray all the time, the things that I do, you shall do also, and even greater shall you do, because I go unto my Father. So now it's the job of the church, the body of Messiah, the believers in the world, to do the things that Yeshua did. Heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, take back dominion from Satan, and restore it to the rightful owners, which is mankind. That's what our job is. Are we doing it? I've just given you your job description as a believer in the kingdom of heaven. You want to inherit the blessings and all the things that come with it, but you have a job description, and I'm standing here this morning. Are you doing this job? Some of you are. I know some of you are. We can all do it better. We can all do it better. I've only been in this ministry for a few years. I've only been a believer for maybe 11 years now. But I have laid hands on the sick and seen them recover. I have cast out demons. I haven't raised the dead yet. I have faith for that, but it just hasn't happened. I haven't run into any lepers. If I did, I'd pray for them, and I'd expect them to be cleansed. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And I just want to exhort you in the most loving way. Let's be about our Father's business. I mean, I want everyone to inherit the kingdom, which is your birthright and what we are created for. But I think that it would go a long way toward claiming and nailing down that inheritance if we were doing some of the work that we have been called to do. And I pray that we will. Matthew 24, verses 13 and 14. But he who endures till the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So, our Lord Yeshua came with a message, and he came with a purpose. Let's go back to Matthew 4 again, verses 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 4, 23 and 24. It says, and Yeshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So the message was to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and his purpose was to restore dominion from Satan back to mankind. And he did it by healing the sick, casting out demons, all the things that I've already mentioned. But this is just a scripture that illustrates that. Now Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, the poor in spirit are those who recognize their own spiritual poverty. And casting aside all of their own self-reliance, they realize that they have to be totally dependent on God and seek His grace. And then that's when they're in the right place to be blessed and inherit the kingdom of heaven. When you've given up your right to yourself, when you've died to yourself, and when you realize that you're nothing without God, that you're totally dependent on Him, that's when you're blessed. That's when you're poor in spirit. That's when you're ready to inherit the kingdom. And when it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, it's not necessarily people who are in bereavement or who have lost a loved one, but it could be those who experience the sorrow of this repentance that they're called to. They see who God is. They have a revelation of who Yeshua is, and they see who they are in comparison to Him. And they're called to repentance, and they have a godly sorrow that comes over them. And they're mourning because of that godly sorrow. And those are the ones who will be comforted. That's what Yeshua might be talking about in the Beatitude. And His purpose is to redeem you. His purpose is to redeem you. You may be convicted along the way. You may be pressed and squeezed. You may have to die to yourself. But you will be redeemed and you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. I think that's a pretty good deal. Matthew chapter 13. Let's move ahead there. Matthew 13, verses 18 and 19. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. So, Yeshua came to teach the kingdom of heaven and to preach to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel and then to the entire world. But this says that when some people hear the word of the kingdom, they don't understand it, and the wicked one can come and snatch it away from them. We need to be people who are not only leading the lost sheep to the Lord, but also discipling them and explaining the word of God to them and making sure that the enemy can't come and snatch it away. It's not enough, you know, to say the sinner's prayer with somebody and invite them to church. They need to be discipled. And if there's going to be a harvest, which we all believe in the end days, there's going to be a harvest, the fields are white, those people are going to have to be discipled. And it says in Ephesians that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers have been raised up by Yeshua himself to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Not to do it all themselves, but to equip you guys to do it. If we're going to take back dominion and have the kingdom of God be real in our lives, and we're going to take over and colonize earth for the kingdom of heaven, we all have to do our part. It's a job for each and every believer. Don't think that you have a minimal role. Remember in Corinthians where Paul admonishes how each part is important to the body. It says, so the toe may say, I'm not as important as the hand. Or the eye may say, you know, I can see everything. You're just a toe, you know. But how much would the eye see if you're flat on your face because you tripped because your toe didn't give you balance to hold you up? And how much could the tongue speak if the ears couldn't hear and you couldn't learn enough to be able to speak? And how can your heart go on beating if, you know, the breath of life isn't in you? So every part is important to the body. If you think that part of your body is insignificant, see what you do without it. And I don't have the full use of one of my feet. And that one little thing forced me to retire from a lucrative career that I had worked 12 years to be able to do and had 20 years of experience doing. But it was part of God's plan, and he had a backup career for me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. And yeah, I used to say that when I was practicing medicine, I was saving lives sometimes, and that was in the temporal realm. But now when I'm doing ministry, I'm doing things in people's lives that have eternal consequences. And I like eternal consequences better than temporal ones. So I praise God that I can stand up here and testify that even though I have a part of my body that doesn't work, the parts that are working and pulling together are doing it for the glory of God, and I want to be about my Father's business. Let's look at Matthew 16 and verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This is Yeshua speaking. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Once you've found the kingdom and you get these keys and you start knowing and having personal revelation of who God is, you'll stop looking for anything else.
Yes.
Think about this. A lot of people that I know, myself included, and probably many, many if not all of you, at one time in your life, went on a quest to find spirituality. Now, I had my tarot cards read back in the 70s. I did the S training. I had people, you know, read my fortune. I had my horoscope done. None of those things caused me to stop looking for more or satisfied me. But the very minute that I asked Yeshua to come into my heart, I stopped looking for anything else. When you find the kingdom in your life, you stop looking for something else. Because the kingdom is the ultimate thing. It's your destiny. And you don't need to look anymore. Let's look at a little further on in Matthew chapter 13, verses 33 and 34. Matthew 13, 33 and 34. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them. What is this saying? You know, Yeshua came, and he was the little bit of leaven. And he sowed that leaven into the 12. And then into the 120, and then into the 5,000, and then to the entire world, until eventually everything is going to be leavened. Praise God. That's part of his plan. Let's look at verse 44 and 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. In verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. These scriptures are illustrating what I said just a minute ago, that once you find the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, you'll stop looking for anything else, and you'll do everything you can to have it, to take possession of it. And that's what I'm really here talking about is, you know, what we need to do to take possession of this kingdom, to take back dominion. So in Psalm 24, we learn that God owns everything. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Now, Adonai is an interesting word. We translate it Lord. But in ancient Hebrew, Adonai also means owner. So when in Psalm 24, verse 1, it says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, And we'd say the earth is Adonai's. That means Adonai owns the earth and everything in it. He's the owner. In a democracy, the president, you know, he doesn't own anything except his own little personal possessions. But in a kingdom, the king owns everything. Everything. It's the difference between a kingdom. I mean, our president has to move into a residence that is loaned to him for the term of his office. He doesn't own anything in there. All the furnishings and, you know, accoutrements that come with that office have been used by other presidents before him and will be used by other presidents after him. They're not his. They belong to the democracy. But boy, if you go to a kingdom, you go to the palace. The king owns it, man. He owns it. And only his children can inherit it. And our king owns everything that in the realm that we live in. He owns everything. We're his children. We inherit the kingdom. That's the way it works. Praise God. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9 for a minute. Wrap this up here. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The government is upon the shoulder of Yeshua, our Messiah. He's the Wonderful Counselor, El Gibor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of his government and increase, there will be no end. Not Barack Obama's government, George Bush's government, or any other earthly elected government, but of the government of the king, there will be no end. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verses 12 and 13. When your days are filled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is a prophecy that's given to David and quoted by Isaiah. This is where it came from. I will establish his kingdom and the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, says the Lord. If that could possibly refer to anyone but Yeshua, I wish somebody would explain it to me. That's a good one to share with your Jewish brethren when they want to know who Messiah is. And let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which you will be called, Adonai Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. So, the prophets proclaimed that we would have a king and his kingdom would be forever. The Lord created us to have dominion on earth. We rebelled and lost it for a time. Yeshua came to help us repent and learn about the kingdom and teach us about the kingdom so that we could regain what we had lost and have dominion restored back to us. Redemption is about having dominion redeemed unto mankind from Satan. If by chance you're saved and you go to heaven too, that's a bonus. But we really want to redeem earth for the kingdom of heaven and take the back dominion. That's what we need to be doing.
Hallelujah.
That's why it says in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let that be your primary focus, and all these other things that you're worried about will be given to you. Matthew 11, verses 25 through 27. Matthew 11, 25 through 27. At that time, Yeshua answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Son, the Father, except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. The one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. When we start to seek the kingdom, to be about our Father's business, Yeshua is going to give you a revelation about the Father God and about the King. And you'll know what it means to be a child of the kingdom. And this is something that you can pray for. You can pray to Yeshua that he would reveal the Father to you, that he would give you personal revelation of who the King is, and that you would know what it means to be a child of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God on earth. And you would instantly know how to go about reclaiming dominion. Adonai means owner. Our God owns everything. It was his plan to give us the kingdom so that we could colonize earth for heaven. We're going to talk more about what it means to be an ambassador of a kingdom, a colony of a kingdom, and all this other kingdom stuff in future messages. But for today, I just wanted to talk about this dominion issue. And I want you all to understand that we need to reclaim dominion.
Amen.
And we need to do it by praying for the sick and seeing them recover, by casting out demons, and by confronting the powers of darkness wherever we encounter them. Because greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. And we will be victorious if we confront them with our eyes focused on the King.
Amen.
Father God, I thank you that you are the King, that you own everything, and that you have called us to be heirs and children of your kingdom. I thank you, Lord, that you sent Yeshua to help us regain dominion here on the earth and to colonize it for your heavenly kingdom. And I pray that each and every person will accept their part of that task and will walk in it, knowing who you are and who they are in you, and that you, Lord Yeshua, will give them new revelation of who the Father, God, King is in each of their own lives and each of their own hearts and each of their own spirit. And that with that revelation, they will feel armed and ready to take up the sword and fight. We ask this in the mighty name of Yeshua. And all God's people agreed and said, Amen.